The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
Today, I've got a message that, in fact, this was really kind of birthed out of another message. This past Sunday here in Georgia, I had the honor to speak at my local church. And I spoke on Sunday morning, and I delivered a message that I had spoke of here recently from our podcast. It was a whole other message, but out of that message, I really felt like the Holy Spirit was kind of pulling some stuff out of that really kind of bled into the service on Sunday morning that I felt led to share with you guys here live on the live stream and on podcasts and YouTube and every other platform that our viewers and our partners watch from. And this is what I've worded this: the urgency of continuing to wait and watch in 2022, or remaining, the urgency of remaining, watching and waiting in 2022. Now, I want to preface this by saying this. This is what I felt led to share with you today, and we're going to break down some scriptures. I believe that, I talked about this Sunday morning at our church here in Georgia, that 2020, 2021, those were a rough 2 years. And I believe, despite all the false prophets that are going to come out, and they do this every single year, you're going to see them anytime now, between now and December 31st, especially in the New Year's Eve, you're going to see this whole slew of so-called prophecies, and 99% of them is going to be positive, and it's going to be something so outlandish, and it's going to be recycled every single year. They do this, and they just kind of word it different, and even publications send these emails out with this stuff in it. So I'm going to shoot it to you straight today, and I'm going to tell you that I don't believe 2022 is going to get any better as far as social, economic, moral, civil, and even spiritual climate goes. Let me say that again. I don't believe that 2022 is likely going to get any better as far as the decline that's already taken place all across the board. Let me make this more simple for you. I believe it's going to get darker out there, but that should challenge us to get brighter out there as well. Let me say that again. As the world gets darker, we should be getting brighter. Did Jesus not say, "Ye are the light of the world, you are the salt of the earth"? Now, let me give you some scripture. This is why I believe that things are only going to progressively get, and I know, again, most pastors and teachers and preachers wouldn't even let me get up in the pulpit and preach this kind of stuff because it's not positive, and it doesn't get a big offering, and it doesn't get people shimmying and shouting and clapping their hands. But I promise you, it's going to sound bad in the beginning of this, but if you know the Bible and you know the Lord, and you are in tune with the Holy Spirit, you will rejoice. I promise you there is a redemptive hope if you'll hang with me until the end of this message. But based on the scriptures alone, such as, I'm going to pull some of these up and we'll just share them with you guys right here on the screen, because we do have some scriptures today. Luke 18, 1 and 8. This is a parable about men and women ought to always pray and not lose heart. Everyone has heard, is probably familiar with this, but let me read this just in case. And then he spoke a parable unto them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge who did not fear God, a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me, for my adversary, and he would not for a while. I want you to say this, ready? And he would not for a while. Somebody say a while. This is very important. You're going to see a common thread of this through this whole message. But Afterward, he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, but because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. In other words, pay attention to what this unrighteous, wicked, unregenerated judge just said, and you will learn something here. Verse 7, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night unto him, though he bears long with them? Somebody say, bears long. I'm going somewhere. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Now look at this part. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now I want to emphasize something here that I shared with our church here in Georgia on Sunday morning. This entire context, how many knows that when you interpret scripture, you got to keep it in context. You just can't cherry pick scriptures out of context and use them for what you want to say. You know, they have to fall into category. They have to fall into context. Contextual interpretation is everything. If there is a wherefore, you got to look for the therefore. And if there's a therefore, you got to look for the wherefore. And put it all together. So when we put all this together, here's what we discover. Jesus is telling us that at his return, there is going to be a deficiency, a lack thereof, of faith in the earth. And notice it's in direct conjunction with praying and waiting and watching. It's all in the context of that. What did he say at the beginning of that parable? Men ought to pray and not faint. And then he gets at the end of it and says, when he returns, will he find faith on the earth? Question mark. As to tell us, guys, this is what I call prophetic cryptic warnings. If the Lord Jesus Christ is telling us that when the Son of Man returns to the earth, he says, will he find faith on the earth? He is telling you guys that the climate of the end times, the climate that is going to be in the earth at his return, is going to be a lack of faith, a lack of prayer, and people are going to be not watching and waiting for his return. And also, again, I wanted to pull this out here. It says, and he would not for a while. So there, in other words, there was a long duration of time. And that's important when we get to this. Now I'm going to read another scripture here. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Look at this. This is the Apostle Paul. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. That word perilous in Greek is tumultuous, dangerous, uncertain, distressful, full of anxiety, fear, contention. Perilous times will come. And look at what he says here. Watch, look at the climate that he describes to you of mankind. Men will become lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And then he hits us right at the church. He talks about the world, and then he goes to the church. They will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof, and from such people turn away. In other words, what he's saying is, that there's going to be still a church in the earth, he said, but there is going to be a huge part of the church that is going to have a form of godliness, but they will deny the very power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you guys have heard me preach this for 10 years, and 10 years ago wasn't even as bad as it is today, and today is far worse than it was even 10 years ago when it comes to this stuff. We're seeing churches that have men and women behind pulpits that don't believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. They don't believe in casting out devils. They don't believe in raising the dead. They don't believe in healing and miracles and signs and wonders and the miraculous. When even Jesus himself told us that greater works shall you do because I go unto the Father. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and quickens your mortal body. And he says he's given us power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the powers of the enemy. Even the Great Commission is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, healing the sick, casting out devils, laying hands on the sick that they would recover. They will speak in other tongues. And all these things, he talks about this in Mark 16. But yet we've come to a time where it's no longer popular to include the supernatural with modern progressive Christianity because it's too controversial. It's too emotional. It can scare people. It can make people nervous. It can run off the big time money people. So we got to keep it conservative. We got to keep it religious because it's got to have a form of godliness. It's got to look slick and clean and polished. And we got to keep the machine running and it well oiled, but we will keep the real oil away. We want to oil this thing with our agendas, our programs, our entertainment. But the oil of the Spirit, we reject that. We don't want that. So we want a form of godliness, but we don't want the very power of the Holy Spirit operating to truly set men and women free. And friends, don't tell me we're not there. And don't tell me this hogwash that, well, you know, brother, the Lord told me next year is going to be better and we're going to see a mighty revival that's going to sweep the globe. And all of a sudden, all these progressive churches are going to, their eyes are going to enlighten and their hearts are going to become shown with the gospel and they're going to suddenly embrace the power of the Holy Spirit. No, I don't see that. Again, I can take you to Thessalonians where Paul said there is coming and we're in it, and it's only going to accelerate, and it's only going to increase of a falling away or defection of the church. Now, let me go back up, and I told you at the beginning of this message, in the parable of Luke 18, it says that after a while, it says, he would not for a while, but afterward, he said within himself. So there's a period of longevity. There's a wait, a long wait. Now let's get into some more scriptures here. I want to read. Now we're going to get into the heavier part of this message. Matthew chapter 25, 1 through 13. I'm going to show you a pattern here that I believe is prophetic when it deals with the end times. And this is why, again, I've told you this message is called the urgency of remaining, waiting, and watching. The urgency. It's imperative that we remain watching and waiting. Watch this. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And now 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, somebody say delayed. They all slumbered and slept. Do y'all see that? All of them. If this is a picture of the church in the end times, it tells you right here that look, I'm going to pull this away and I'm going to pull back up the scripture because I'm going to preach to you just for a moment. Listen to me. It's a fact. Because I've been in this thing. Listen, I know some of y'all has been saved a lot longer than I have, but I've been in this thing for 23 years. And one thing I've noticed is for a lot of believers, the longer the Lord delays his coming, the more probability it is that people become weary and they begin to compromise they begin to live in lukewarm living, and they stop watching, they stop waiting, and they stop praying. And before you know it, they're not in church anymore. They're not serving God anymore. They're not praying anymore. They're not reading their word anymore. They're not pursuing God anymore. And you can't find him, and they're backslid somewhere, and they're back in a bar, back in a club, back shacking up somewhere in a bed, back snorting something, shooting something, or injecting something, or drinking something. Again, the longer the Lord delays, the more probability that people begin to get lured into sleeping and slumbering. And if Matthew chapter 25 is a prophetic picture of the bride of Christ with the groom who is Christ delaying his coming, it says when the Lord returned, read it, Matthew 25, it says they all slept and slumbered. So how about this for a prophetic word? When the Lord does come back, could he come back this year before December 31st? Sure. Could he come back next year? Sure. I don't know the day and I don't know the hour. Come on. The Bible says that Jesus neither knows, nor the angels, nor anyone in heaven, but the Father knows the day nor the hour. But we can know the times. We can know the seasons. But here's the point I'm trying to make. We know, according to what, again, I call these prophetic, cryptic warnings. If this is a prophetic parallel of the end times and the condition of the church, this is telling you guys, when the Lord does return, the condition of the church is going to be sleeping. They all slumbered. Whew. Let me go back. Watch this. Let's go back to Matthew 25. Verse 6, and at midnight a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. And then all of them rose, and they trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. Now notice there's a distinction. Even though they were all sleeping, they were all slumbering, at least half of the church, hello, that's good news. At least half of the church will still be in personal revival, despite what you see in corporate stance. Let me say that again. Again, you've heard me say this a long time ago. I've kind of given up on pursuing corporate revival because I'm pursuing personal revival. Let me say it again. I've given up for the most part. Listen, I'll pray and I'll intercede and I'll agree with like my church, my pastor, our intercessors, and those in our church. We're agreeing and we're believing for corporate revival. But I hate to tell you, and this goes for anybody that represents any church that's watching or listening to this day, unless you're living in and cultivating personal revival, you'll never see a corporate revival, because revival begins on the inside and it goes outside. Jesus said, clean the inside of the cup before you mess or before you pursue the outside of the cup. Revival comes from within and goes out. So notice here, the whole church is slumbered, the whole church is asleep, but five of the virgins were wise enough to keep the oil in the lamp. They were still they still had a private devotional with God. They were still spending time in God's presence. Come on, somebody. They were still going to church, even when they didn't feel like it, even when they didn't want to go, even when they didn't want to read the word of God, they were still doing it. They were still listening. They were still positioning themselves and setting themselves where their wicks could be trimmed, their oil could be filled up. This is why I don't like the progression of how church has gone. 20 years ago, guys, 23 years ago, when I first got saved, we had Sunday morning service, we had Sunday night service, we had Sunday school, and we had Wednesday night services. Now you get, if you're blessed enough, you may have two services a week, but most churches have one service a week, and that's it. And I hate to tell you, but most Christians have to be spoon-fed. So therefore, they're trying to live on oil that they're getting filled up with in a corporate setting on a Sunday morning to get them through Monday morning, Tuesday morning, and Wednesday morning. And by the time they get to Thursday morning, because they went through all kinds of stuff at work, they went through stuff at home, went through stuff with their marriage, went through a bunch of junk with their kids, went through a bunch of junk, come on, in traffic and people and life. And they've got all this. By the time, come on, they got filled up on Sunday morning, but by the time they got on to Thursday morning, how many believes their cup is empty? And they still got, what, two more days before they get into a position where they can get filled up. Again, this is why it's imperative to thrive for personal revival, to keep this the oil and lamps. Let me get back to the verse here. And then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the fullest said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise and said, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, look at this. Well, now I'm going to start going to church. Now I'm going to start reading the Bible. Now I'm going to start getting into a devotional time. Now I'm going to start praying. Now I'm going to start being dedicated. Why? Because now it's urgent. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, I said, those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. So they're pounding on the door. But he answered and says, surely I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour which the Son of Man is coming. So again, I want you to keep this in your spirit. The longer the Lord delays, the more probable it is for us believers to, I'm just going to say it like this, to begin to backslide and to lose the oil in the lamp. I know it's old school preaching, but that's how I roll. Now let's go to another verse of scripture. All this is going to fit right together like a puzzle. Luke 21. And then he spoke a parable. This is in Luke 21. This is in the context of what are the signs of your coming? What will be the signs of the end of the age? And he tells them this whole entire chapter. There'll be wars, rumors of wars, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, earthquakes, pestilences, false prophets, this, that. He names all these things. And then he spoke to them. This is verse 29, a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. And when they are already budding, and by the way, this was also mentioned by other gospel writers, and it absolutely deals with the nation of Israel, which again, I will emphasize that Israel is the major timepiece of the prophetic clock. He says, when they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, what things? Again, the increase. Simultaneously, all together, the birth pangs increasing of all these things that he mentions prior in the earlier parts of the chapter of Luke 21, Matthew 24, Mark 13. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Surely I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. What generation? The generation that sees these things simultaneously increasing, happening all together. No, this did not happen in 70 AD, as the preterists want to tell you. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Listen to this, verse 34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. That day is emphatically referencing the day of the Lord, the day of the coming of the Lord. Verse 35, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But listen to what he says in verse 36. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. So notice again, before we move on, he talks about the signs of the coming of the Lord, how they will increase, they will intensify. He gives you a parable. He tells you, just like when you begin to see, when you begin to look out and you see trees begin to bloom and you begin to blossom and they begin to produce, just like that's an indicator that summer is even at the door. When you begin to see major signs of the coming of the Lord, intensifying, increasing, getting worse, magnifying, he said those are indicators. And especially Israel, when you see prophecies that the prophets have foretold of Israel, like Zechariah and like Ezekiel and like Jeremiah and like the prophet Isaiah and different and Haggai and all these prophets who foretold of certain things that would have to happen to Israel to be restored, to blossom again, to live again, to do all these things. When you begin to see all these things happening, the generation that is alive and witnesses these things is the same generation that will see the coming of the Lord. And again, we can get into the debate of what a generation is. Is it 40 years? Is it 70 years? Is it 120 years? I don't want to get into all that because I don't believe personally, just like other theological debates, we could sit here and debate this all night. At the end, somebody's going to be right, and one day we're all going to get to heaven. We're going to figure out who was right and who was wrong. But the key is, remember, what did he say? Therefore, what? Pray always. Watch, therefore. Remain steadfast. That's the key. Now, let me give you another verse. Let's move on. Matthew 24, 36 through 51. Again, speaking of the coming of the Lord. I want to go up here to verse 21. I don't know why I didn't put. Okay, well, we've got two verses. Let me read this verse and then I'll read the other one. But if that evil servant says in his heart, listen to this, quote, my master is delaying his coming. There it is again. The delay of the coming of the Lord. This is exactly what he's talking about. And begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards. Hello. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Guys, isn't that not terrifying? Now, let me give you another one. Matthew 21, 33 through 40. I didn't put this scripture up here, but you can just listen again. But you guys that are watching by Facebook, podcast, whatever the platform, it's again, the reference is Matthew 21, verses 33 through 40. Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower, and he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Here it is again, a long journey, a far country. He delays. He waits long. It's encrypted in all these scriptures. And I'm pulling them out for you to show you that all along, if we're paying attention, the Lord has been warning all along. Now you say, why are you telling us? Here's why. How many people do you know? Older folks, grandmothers, grandfathers, your parents, people you meet, and you start telling them about the coming of the Lord, the importance of watching and waiting, the rapture is going to happen. The Lord's going to come back. The eastern sky is going to split. He's coming back for his church. He could return at any moment. And a lot of these guys will say this. They will say, I've heard this for 20 years. I've heard this all my life. My parents always said that. All that preacher's been saying that for 50 years. Oh, they've been saying this all the time and nothing ever happened. Well, again, what has happened to them? Because the Lord has delayed his coming somewhere down the road, they have become apathetic. They have slumbered. They fall into a slumber. They are sleeping. They are no longer looking for the coming of the Lord. They're like, yeah, whatever, I've heard all that. The same thing happened in the days of Noah. Noah was told by the Lord, tell the people that judgment's coming, a flood's coming. And he preached it not for 10 years, not for 20 years, not 30 years. We're talking hundreds of years. And I'm telling you, the longer the Lord delayed, the harder men's hearts became. And people that were once serving God, that were on fire for God yesterday. Now, when I say yesterday, it could be 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Those people that were on fire for God because the Lord delayed his coming. They have now, many of them are no longer in the church. They're no longer serving God. Why? Because they have become. Then you get all the way into the New Testament, and I didn't have this scripture pulled up, but let me pull this up because this is very relative to what we're talking about. And I really want to, let me see if we can pull this up, guys. This is out of the book of, I believe it's 1 Peter or 2 Peter. Here it is. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Let's see if we can pull up the whole scripture here. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Look at this. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust. And listen, and this is what they're toting from their mouth. This is what they're going around saying. Remember, this is the key, guys, walking according to their own lust. They're doing things that the apostles said that we're to put off. Put off drunkenness, put off idolatry, put off sexual immorality, put off cursing, put off these things. But listen what it says. There's scoffers that will arise in the last days, and we're here walking around. And notice it says that they're walking according to their own lust. They are openly, willfully practicing the things that God told them to separate from. And here's what they're saying with their mouth. Walking around saying, quote, where is the promise of his coming? As to mock you and me and other watchmen that are constantly standing at the wall and proclaiming, thus says the Lord, watch and be ready and be waiting and be in prayer and make your robes white so that you're not ashamed at his coming. We're being mocked. We're being ridiculed. And these guys are saying, where is the promise of his coming? These are the guys. And some of these guys, oh, I'm going to preach it anyway, whether you want to hear it. Some of these Christians are way up in high positions. And some of these guys are even CEOs and owners of Christian networks who has purposely purged anybody and everybody who preaches anything remotely like this from their networks. That's why when you take your remote and you begin to flip on your favorite Christian television network, most likely, I'm not saying they're all like this, but a lot of them are like this. I'd say the majority are like this. You start flipping through, you are not going to find a message on repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You're not going to find a message on get right with the Lord, because the Lord is about to return. The coming of the Lord is at hand. No, instead, you're going to get people on there that are walking according to their own lust, and therefore they don't want to hear any preaching of the coming of the Lord, and they're definitely not going to preach it because they're living in luxury. They're living in indulgence. They're living in idolatry. They're living in adultery. Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. In other words, in modern vernacular, let me tell you what it's saying here. I've heard this all the way to my great-great-grandfather that the Lord is coming back. And he still hasn't come back. So why should I listen to you, preacher? And listen, again, when you go to the book of Luke, or I'm sorry, Matthew, that scripture I pulled up, it said, notice it said that as the Lord delayed his coming, the servant began to, or the owner began to beat his servants, and he began to become a drunkard, and he began to be lazy. And then when the Lord showed up, eventually it was not good for him. So watch this. All right. Matthew 25, 14, 30. I'm not going to read all this. I'm just going to highlight some points here, and then we're going to close this podcast. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man. Listen to this. Here it is. Matthew 24, 14, 30. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. We all know this story. And he gives to some, he gives talents to this group, gives talents to that group, and gives talents to this group. And he says, now go invest in my kingdom so that when I eventually return, I will reap an investment of what you did with the talents I've given you. Now, guys, listen to me. Everyone listening, everyone watching, God has dispersed talents. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lives. The Bible says that all gifts, the gifts and callings of God, are irrevocable, or they're without repentance. He's given you gifts and he's given you callings. Maybe you're not called to be behind a microphone or behind a pulpit, but you're still called to preach the gospel. Maybe you're called to be a teacher. Maybe you're called to be a counselor. Maybe you're called to be a worker somewhere to share the gospel with somebody. Everyone has a calling. Everyone has a purpose, and you can glorify God and you can glorify his kingdom through the talent. Come on, the wisdom and the calling that God has entrusted you with. Let me give you, look, I'm going to use myself for example, just to show you, this is going to blow you away. When you get in the secret place with God in the time of devotion and prayer, God will begin to speak to you in a private level of things about your personal life. So you will write them down. You'll take note of them. You'll write them in a journal. You'll pray over them. And you, the Bible, Paul told Timothy, with the prophecies that have been spoken over you, wage a good warfare. Well, many years ago, the Lord spoke to me in private, in my private time, and said, there will come a day, he never said when, but there will come a day when the Lord would instruct me to begin to raise up sons of Issachar. Now, I knew exactly what that meant, because I understand what sons of Issachar is. These were a group of individuals who understood and discerned the times and the seasons in which we're in. But I knew when the Lord instructed me, I knew what that meant. In other words, it would come a time when I would be considered to be a father, and there would be sons under me that I would train up and that I would equip to be watchmen, to be discerners of the times and seasons in which we're in. So I've held that in a journal. I've kept it. And it's been years, guys. I'm talking probably 7 years ago. But then just recently, through conversations and through quote unquote happenstance, and we know there's a purpose and a plan for every season under heaven. So there, I don't believe there is no happenstance in the kingdom of God. Your steps are ordered of the Lord. So it was in the fullness of God's time that now I'm beginning to see this starting to come to fruition. And I'm excited about it. I'm nervous about it, but I know that God's on this. And so that's a shift in my own life, of this equipping stage and this phase in my life. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about talents. These are talents. So what has God entrusted you with? What has God put talents in you about that you're sitting on? Are you going to bury your talent? Or are you going to invest your talent? Come on. But don't miss it. He says, A man traveled to a far country, and then he entrusted his servants with these talents. And then you get down to verse 18 and it says, but he who had received one talent went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. Verse 19, and after a long time, you see that? A long time. The Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. Now, let me get to, I'm going to skip over a lot of this because I want to get to this last, part of this. Let me get to Luke 21:34 again. We're going to bring this up. This is where we're going to close. Luke 21:34. And then this is where we're going to close. Luke 21:34. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Look at this. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, also will the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and did not know until the flood came and took them away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. The coming of the Son of Man be? Listen to this. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have, watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. One translation says broken up. This is a heavy understanding of this because, there is things. Oh, I got to be careful what I say right here. There is things being propagated by the mainstream media that is breaking homes apart, that is dividing marriages, dividing families. Everything that's coming out of the mainstream media is causing absolute division in this country. It's setting one group against another group, one race against another race. It's the devil trying to divide our nation and divide the world and separate and divide. You go to the New Testament, Jesus is in the garden. He's praying to the Father. One of his last prayers before he was crucified, he said, Father, I pray that they would be one as we are one. Therefore, that Satan heard Jesus praying this, and he's been working overtime for thousands of years to keep the church divided. Come on, it's one thing when the world's divided. It's another thing when the church is divided. Don't tell me we're not divided. When I used to live in Cleveland, Tennessee, I never seen so many churches in my life. I'm not dogging Cleveland, Tennessee. I love Cleveland, Tennessee. I think it's a great area. But my goodness, there was over 350 churches in one city. That is absolutely ridiculous. And the only thing that tells me is people are absolutely divided. This church believes in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. This church doesn't believe in it. This church believes in speaking in tongues. This church don't believe in speaking tongues. This church is Jesus only. This church is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. This church believes in heaven. This church doesn't believe in hell. This church believes that, once saved, always saved. This church doesn't believe in that. You got this, the first Baptist, second Baptist, third Baptist, division Baptist, the last Baptist. You got 13 different Baptist church. You got Pentecostal churches, charismatic churches. You got one God, two God, three God, glory to God. The church is divided. And the enemy is sitting back and laughing. And notice the Lord said, you need to be watching, you need to be ready. And don't allow your home to be broken up. Listen, if what's being propagated behind the television is breaking up my home, turn the stupid thing off. Listen, we ain't divided in my home. You know why? Because we turn that stupid thing off. Well, so-and-so said this. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, I'm telling you, there's such division being propagated. And this, I want to tell you, I want to close with this. All through the Bible, I don't know why the Lord has had me on this. And I'm just going to try to, Lord, help me to preach this from memory. You go all the way back to the book of Genesis, where I'm going to close, guys. You go all the way to the book of Genesis, and I can show you where there is a depiction of a door. There's always a door and then judgment. A door and judgment. You go to the story of Noah. God instructs Noah to build an ark. There's a judgment coming. He tells him to get into the ark, and God controls the door. He supernaturally shuts the door, and then judgment comes. You go to the book of Genesis chapter 19. You have the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. There is two angels that show up in the city of the plains because the cries of the people have gone up before heaven because of the abomination, because of the wickedness. You can read the book of Ezekiel that gives you more insight on what the abominations were and what the sins of Sodom were. And they weren't just committing abomination, but there was fullness of bread, abundance of idleness. They were not extending their hands to the poor. There was all kinds of stuff going on. And the angels of God came, two angels came into the city to get an eyewitness account firsthand of what's going on. They come to Lot's house, and Lot knows that they're angels, pleads with them to come into his house. And they said, no, we're going to sleep in the open square, because they knew that what was going on in the city was wicked and evil. And those angels were willing to put themselves out there, because if them boys were going to do to them angels what they were doing to strangers, and you can read the book of Jasher if you want to know more insight on what was going on, and I could tell you a little bit about it. There was judges that was elected officials in the cities of the plains who put beds out in the streets, and those men of the city, old and young, would do things to strangers, men in the city, that I can't even speak of on broadcast. And those angels said, if what is being told to us is true, then we're going to find out. And Lot said no, and he pleaded with them to get into the house, and he even offered his own daughters. And the Bible says that the men, old and young, came rushing to Lot's house because they saw the two angels, and they wanted to meet them, come on, and know them. And that word know is a connotation, and it doesn't mean they wanted to greet them and give them a tour of the city. It means they wanted to carnally know them. Watch this. And they begin to press at the door of Lot's house. Lot pulls, those angels are already in the house. Lot is trying to plead and hold back the people, but the Bible says that Lot could no longer hold them. So there was a physical attack, and the angels pulled Lot into the home, shut the door, and on the other end of the door, the men were struck with blindness. Hello. So again, there's a door, there's righteous on the other side, the wicked on the other. The angels controlled the door, and there was judgment that came to the other side of the door. Then you get to the book of Matthew chapter 25. We just talked about it today. You have 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish. As the Lord delayed his coming, what did it say? The wise entered a door. They went through a door. The door was shut. And then those who came back who were not ready came pounding on the door, and he said, I don't know you. So what happened? Judgment came. They received the reward of not watching and not being ready. They were, I believe, again, it's a picture, they were left behind. They didn't go into the bride chamber. Then, consequently, you go to Revelation chapter 4 in the New Testament, and John the Revelator says, I was in the Spirit. He says, immediately I was caught up. Caught up. Same word used in Thessalonians. He said, I was immediately caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he said, there was a door in heaven. And John says he went through that door. Revelation 4, read it. He was caught up in the Spirit, went through a door, heard a voice. It said, come up here. And he says, and I will show you things that will happen afterward. Again, there's a door. John is on the other side of the door. And then you know what happens afterward? Revelation 4, from Revelation 5 on, is when the tribulation begins. That's when the horses start showing up, the bowl judgments, the vile judgments, the asteroids, all that stuff. Boom, 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 boom. And by the way, the church is nowhere to be found. Well, the word saints is used. The Satan comes down with great wrath upon the saints. Look up the word saints, and it's the elect, and it's the Jewish elect, because God, come on, even though he divorced Israel, he's still in covenant with Israel. And by the way, that's why he sends, I shouldn't even go into this because it's a whole other rabbit trail, but that's why he sends two witnesses. That's why he sends the 144,000 that are marked with the name of God. Why? It's for the Jewish remnant, because most of the church, the ecclesia, see it that will be caught up, raptured, Revelation 4, that John saw, witnessed, and experienced, most of them will be made up of Gentiles. Go to Romans 11, when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in, there's going to come a shift, and that shift is God begins to transition and moves to the Jewish remnant. Why do you think it says in Romans 11, it says that all Israel might be saved? I'm trying to tell you, but what, listen, we can sit here and argue about theologically, you know, theologically, is it going to be this? It's going to be that. When is the rapture? There is no rapture. There's a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, pan-trib. Yeah, it's all going to pan out. We can sit here and argue and debate and all that. But here's the point of this message. 2022 is coming. And actually on the Jewish calendar, we're already there on the Hebraic calendar. And it's not going to get better. Inflation's going to get worse. Turmoil's going to get worse. Economic crisis is probably going to deepen and get worse. Civil unrest is going to take place. Political divide, ethnic divide, racial divide. Turning against this group, against that group. Ethnos against ethnos. Darkness is going to get darker. But we as the church have to decide, are we going to succumb to the darkness? Are we going to let our light so shine among men that they may see our works and glorify the Father which is in heaven? Here's what I want to shout from the rooftops to your home, to your office, to your car, wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening. Watch therefore and be ready, be prayed up, and keep your oil in your lamp, because we know not the day nor the hour, but we are looking and anticipating all the signs of the coming of the Lord. And we want to be prepared and not caught off guard. Come on. Can I get somebody say amen right there to that? We should all be agreeing on this, guys. If you don't agree with anything I just said, we need to be agreed right there. Come on. Endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. You're going to see the URL right there on your screen. But we do want you to subscribe to the main website. But oh, above that, we would love for you to get our free app. It's available free. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. If you're listening by podcast, just go to your Apple Store, your Google Play Store. Just type in End Time Headlines. You're going to see our ETH logo. Just download it. Hit yes to push notifications. You're going to be notified of all of our latest headlines from a prophetic perspective. You're going to be notified of every one of our podcasts when they're new. You can listen, you can watch, all that's at your leisure, in your fingertips. If you're watching by Facebook Live, YouTube, Rumble, it says there's a link right there where it says download our app or get our app today or whatever. the link below it is the link. You just click on that and it's going to take you to a page. And if you're an Apple user or an Android user, you can see the images there, click on it. And it's going to be so easy to get that. Please do that today if you've not yet done that. And as always, guys, we want to give you an opportunity. If this ministry is a continual source of information, blessing, revelation, equipping, encouragement, or all the above, we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. And you could do that with a gift of any amount, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. We don't manipulate people. Listen, everything is free. Our messages are free. Our app is free. Our subscription base is free. Everything is free. All we ask again is that you be obedient to the Spirit of God. I believe that as you're blessed, you'll become a blessing. I know in my life, when I'm blessed by ministries, I sow back into them because I believe in what they're doing and I stand behind it and I sow that back into them. So there's two ways you can give. You can give through electronic giving through the app or through the main website right there on your screen. If you're listening to my podcast, again, it's the app that you can get free, or you can go to the website, endtimeheadlines.org, and go there to give, or you can give by check or money order. And please, if you do that, make those checks or money orders out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, guys, we love you guys. We appreciate you taking the time out to come on here today. I'm going to say a quick prayer over you so we can dismiss this service or this broadcast, rather. I'm still in service mode because we had a service on Sunday morning here in Georgia, but we're gonna dismiss this podcast. We're gonna sign off for today, and we may either be back on tomorrow or Thursday. I've kind of taken a little bit of a break this week because of my voice, has been going in and out because of the weather. I mean, my goodness, it was 75 degrees yesterday in the end of December. I know some of y'all are dealing with that too. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this word. I thank you that this word will not return void. It will go forth. It will equip. It will establish. And it will prosper in that in which it is sent forth to do. And I pray that this stirs people up. I pray that it encourages people and it challenges people to stay heavily in the word, stay in the spirit, stay in the presence of God, faithfully commit to their church, their small group, or their online group, or whatever group of believers that they're a part of, because your word says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together, even more so as we see the day approaching, the day of the Lord. So we want to be accountable. We want to stay together. We want to be one in agreement that the Lord indeed is coming back soon, and that we are watching and that we are waiting for his return. And Lord, I pray that you would instill the power to a boldness upon everybody listening and watching, that they can go into the highways and byways and compel to come into the house of the Lord, witnessing at their work, their jobs, their families, the streets, wherever they're at, whatever the proximity and location they're in. I pray that you would give them the inheritance of the souls in which you've entrusted them with. And may they use the gifts and talents that you have entrusted them with and not bury them, but use them for the advancement of your kingdom, even more so as with the day of the Lord approaches. And Father, if there's anybody today that's not right with you, we pray today that they would repent and that they would confess their sins before the Lord in the presence of the Lord now and return back to the Lord in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. God bless you guys. Again, thank you. Don't forget to share this. Don't forget to subscribe. Hit the push notifications, the bell, whatever platform you're watching, so you can be notified of new videos, new messages, new podcasts, and whatnot. So we love you guys. God bless you. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.